Welcome back to this week's edition of the Rock and Roll Bros podcast. This week we have actor, filmmaker, writer, Roman Zaragoza. He's one of the stars of the hit comedy Ghosts on CBS. Welcome to the show, Roman. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. Where are you at today? L.A.?
Today I'm in L.A. I'm in Sherman Oaks currently. Oaks, all right. Yeah. How about you?
Been there. I'm a little bit outside Chicago.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, nice.
It's actually nice weather here for a change.
Oh, wow. Opposite for us. We have terrible weather today. So.
Is it still raining?
We stopped just now, but it was raining all morning. So it's probably going to start raining again.
What has been going on out there? It's bizarre. It's either famine or feast with the water.
Exactly. There's no in between.
Well, I certainly hope somebody's collecting all of it.
I hope so too. I really do.
Because it just seems like the opportune time. I know all, you know, I have a lot of friends on social media from LA and they're all to the point where they're just over it. You know, it's like one, it's nice to see some rain, but then they're at a point where they're like, I can't take it anymore.
It's true. Yeah. It's like, we moved here because of the good weather. What's going on? But it's probably for the best. We need some rain. So
Sure. Yeah. Now hopefully that mellows everything out the rest of the year. So you guys don't have too many forest fires or anything.
That's the hope. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a few things I wanted to talk to you about, but I mean, you're on Ghosts. You're on this hit comedy series. You're pretty young still, so you got onto a hit show pretty early on. What does that feel like?
It feels incredible. I feel incredibly lucky and just, you know, constantly pinching myself because it's an amazing show and the cast is awesome. It's on CBS. You know, we have an incredible following and great audience and great fans. I'm just so grateful, you know. It's and every day I come to work where I'm just laughing nonstop throughout the whole day, and it's a dream. It's really, honestly, a dream come true.
Well, it's definitely one of the more unique concepts for a sitcom I've seen in a while. But I'll be honest, when I saw the previews for it, I'm like, how is that gonna work? And I was like, and then all of a sudden, you know, I this is why I'm not a TV executive, I guess. It became a huge success. I'm like, wow, that I don't know, for some reason it just surprised the hell out of me. It's not like the premise isn't good. It's just that I don't know who, you know, I don't necessarily, nowadays it's a crapshoot with network TV, what's actually going to hit more than ever, I think. What do you feel the success of the show is? What is the special, you know, thing that people seem to gravitate towards?
You know, I think we have the ability to make people really laugh out loud. I think comedies nowadays are sometimes comedy dramas. A lot of comedies nowadays, especially on streaming shows, they're like comedies, but they're also kind of like, I don't know. I watch comedies and I don't feel like I'm laughing out loud. They're still funny. I just don't feel like I'm really laughing out loud all the time versus, you know, this Ghost is taking us back to, you know, our classic sitcoms that we have, and, you know, taking us all, you know, back to Friends and How I Met Your Mother, or even Cheers. And we talk about like these quick paced shows. And so they're joke after joke. And we're giving people the ability to laugh and really just escape and dive into, you know, kind of the absurdity of the show. But also we have the ability to be grounded and also talk about these serious messages and bring our heart to it, because that's one of the most powerful things I think our show has, is that we can make you laugh and then we can make you cry.
Yeah. What was the appeal of the, well, a double question here. First, if you can kind of describe who your character is, where he fits in, and then if you could tell me what the appeal of what you read, did you originally intend to read for the character you got? And what was it about that appealed to you?
So where my character fits in to like the whole family and the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, so our show is based on the BBC show, Ghosts, which is amazing.
I did not know for some reason. I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah. There was a BBC show called Ghosts, and it's fantastic. I think they are on season 5, if I...
Also, they're still running. Cool.
They are, and they are so funny. And the show is fantastic. And so you can see some parallels between their show and our show. They have some characters that are similar. Like they also have like a Boy Scout troop leader. They have these have characters that you can kind of see are similar to our show, except they don't really have a character that's kind of similar to Sasapi's. Sasapi's is very dry and very sarcastic. You know, he has elements of being the deadpan one in the room. And I've loved being that character because a lot of the characters in the show are very larger than life and very funny and very big. And, you know, I think it's fun to have that contrast of like big, big, big. And then you pan to Sasapi's and he's just like, oh my God, I hate this place. You know, it's just, there's something so fun about that and to have like those different perspectives. And yeah, so that's how he fits in, I think, with the family and with the show. And well, sorry, what was the second question?
No, the second one was what did you originally go out for this role?
Oh,
and,
right.
And what about it appealed to you?
Right. So I got the audition about a week before we shot the pilot. So it was a very quick turnaround. I auditioned, I got the call back, and before I knew it, I was driving down from Oregon to Los Angeles and I was on set. And yeah, but I was very much drawn to the show when I auditioned for it. I'm always nervous whenever it says like 1500s native guy, because you're always like, oh no, they're gonna make me like do an accent. They're gonna perpetuate stereotypes for native people. But thank God it was not the case. Sasapi's is such a fun, three-dimensional, well-rounded character where he has, you know, his ups and downs. He has his good sides, his bad sides, and we're seeing just like a full-rounded person, which is what I'm always, you know, seeking when I'm playing a character. I don't want to play a token. I don't want to play a stereotype. I want to play just a three-dimensional person. So yeah, I've been really grateful for that. And I so yeah, I always initially auditioned for Sasapi's. And
okay. Yeah, so well, what's cool about the idea is that, I mean, you're somebody that's obviously been deceased for hundreds of years, so you don't have to be stuck in the time period necessarily
that, right, well,
you know, you were in. Mm-hmm. So you're it's odd considering a dead person can evolve, but your character doesn't have to be stuck in that time frame. So yes, exactly. he's got oddly enough probably cultural references by now and everything.
Well, that's the thing that you know, we've talked about, because people are like, why doesn't Sasapi's have an accent? And you know, my justification is like, well, he's been dead for 500 years and he died very young.
Right.
So he's very impressionable. You know, he didn't get set in his ways. He's still very impressionable and he's very observant and he can just like adapt it to his surroundings. And I honestly think that he's just very, he loves pop culture. You know, he loves these trashy TV shows. I can imagine him being more into just all these pop culture things throughout the years. You know, maybe when Shakespeare was coming out, he's like, well, actually, that would be kind of like the same time. But, you know, like I don't know, 1700s, 1700s to 1800s. We're, you know, just thinking about like the early 20s when Alberto was alive and he'd be like, wow, I love this music. This is awesome. And like kind of like copying that era. I'm sure when Elvis came around, he's like copying Elvis. Like, it'd be funny to see him like copying these different.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you could do anything with these characters because they could have any number of references at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a bunch of jokes like that where everyone's like watching a TV show or something and just mimicking the show, or like, you know, mimicking whatever. They watch SNL one night and they're like all doing the Californians, you know, like it's funny things like that that our show just has the capacity to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you mentioned having to come down from Oregon. Were you up there for with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival at the time?
So at the time I wasn't. It was during the pandemic. I was living there in Eugene, Oregon. Okay. My partner at the time, we went there, and she her parents lived there, and they had this extra place we could stay at, and we were kind of just like wandering because we didn't know where to land and all this stuff, So we ended up living in Oregon for about a year. But before that, I was at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival for three seasons. And I was lucky enough to work there and had an amazing time there.
So you were just kind of holding up in Oregon until something, until things changed.
Or yeah.
Something like this came along.
Exactly. Yeah. For a job. We were just a little nervous about everything in regards to finances, to COVID, to everything, because we were both unemployed. We were both doing little odd jobs to make some money, but we were like, I don't want to pay rent right now. I would prefer not to. Oh, your parents have a place in Oregon. Let's just go to Oregon and live there. You know, we wouldn't be able to see people anyways because of COVID. Let's just go there. And it was a great place to kind of just escape to. And, you know, Oregon, there's the nature is so beautiful. We were going on hikes and doing all sorts of things. And so I'm very, very grateful for that time. It was a really good time.
And you went to school in California, so you're not a stranger to being in California, but what was the difference coming back this time?
Yeah, the funny thing about it is I don't feel like I really necessarily live in California anymore. I feel like I stop in here. It's like my parents live here, so I'm constantly coming back here. And so I spend about 7 months of the year in Montreal where we shoot.
Oh, you shoot in Canada. Okay.
Yeah, we shoot in Canada. And then for the rest of the 5 months out of the year, I'm traveling, or I'll stop in at my parents' house, or I'll... but I've been traveling a lot. I've been traveling. I went seeing friends, doing some work. I was in Oklahoma, and then Austin. I was in Seattle. I'm just going all over.
Well, the one thing I really wanted that stood out for me here, you seem to be working with a lot of organizations with regards to civil rights and charities and things like that. But the Illuminative organization really stood out for me in your press sheet. Can you tell everybody a little bit about Illuminative and what your part of it is?
Yeah, Illuminative. You know, I don't work with them, but I constantly am trying to collab with them. They're an awesome organization, Indigenous organization geared towards discussing Indigenous representation and Indigenous Indigenous communities. Communities and what everyone is going through, whether that is in regards to politics, in regards to different organizations, media, and just kind of spotlighting what Indigenous people are doing and also supporting Indigenous communities. And it's really exciting. I'm also been talking to a really amazing organization by the name of Outlast Arts and Education. They are an organization that has a film camp out in Pine Ridge that they do yearly, and it's really cool to see people, you know, trying to give resources and you know, help the next generation, especially for Indigenous communities who wouldn't otherwise have these opportunities. And it's really cool. So I'm trying to work with them more. And I also work with occasionally with my friends out in Oregon. There's a youth camp called Conaway, where they have a Native youth camp there, where they're teaching kids about different kinds of art and traditional storytelling. It's really, really cool. So I'm just, you know, doing the best I can to support different organizations that are doing really, really cool stuff. And hopefully one day I'll start my own.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's an interesting time for, you know, Native Americans, Indigenous people, that there's more awareness, I think, now than ever about trying to, I guess, do the right thing in a bigger scope and trying to realize, you know, about history. You know, I mean, even as a youngster myself, I'm in my 50s, you know, the things that we saw on Saturday and Sunday TV was, you know, cowboy movies and, you know, every Native American person was, you know, basically evil, you know, and I was like, well, that, you know, back then it's like, I grew up on Sesame Street and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, in that generation that was starting to understand that there's really not a big deal between me as a white person and anybody else. You know, it's just, we're all people, but You know, so that always struck me as a little odd, but that still, you know, was being fed to us. So there's, you know, even in my lifetime, that's a long feeding tube, you know, of negative imagery. What are your thoughts on combating that in your art in any way?
So that's one of the biggest reasons why I do what I do, is combating these negative stereotypes that have been depicted in media for years, whether that's for my indigenous side, my Asian side, my Latino side. I really care about changing these narratives that for so long people have been creating, whether that's, you know, the Asian nerd, or like how most Latino actors are playing drug cartels, are playing maids, and it's like, okay, but what other characters can we, come on, we can play other characters. And then especially with the indigenous communities and indigenous representation, it's like, why are we always talking about Native people in the past tense? Why are we always talking about Native people being, you know, the enemy? And it's like, well, let's talk about, let's put them as the protagonist. Let's tell a story through their perspective, and let's put them also in a contemporary setting. Like, that's why I love Reservation Dogs. We're talking about Native people today, and there's other amazing projects, Rutherford Falls, these projects where we're seeing Native people in a contemporary setting, which is so exciting, because I think some people in this country still think that like Native people are not like them. And it's like, well, yeah, we are. We're all, we got iPhones too. And, you know, we're contemporary people. So let's talk about that. And, yeah. And it's also why I love playing Sesapis, because Sesapis also really changes that narrative. You know, he is appearing to people as what you would see a Native representation years ago, like, you know, and of seeing someone in, like, you know, in buckskins and, you know, in that kind of outfit. But he's also changing the narrative by just being who he is. He's like, yeah, sure, I'm dressed like this, I've been dead for 500 years, but also I am a sarcastic, jaded old man trapped in a young, hopeless romantic's body. And it's, I love the playing that duality and talking about how he's just this three-dimensional being, and he's so much more than any negative stereotype. And so I'm really hoping that people see that, and it's like, oh yeah, Native people are more than just these negative stereotypes that have been perpetuated for years.
Yeah. Now, do you ever get tired of just wearing the same costume all the time?
You know, there are some days for sure, because my costume is, it's very elaborate. You know, you don't even get to see everything, but there's like a lot going on, and it can be heavy some days. But for the most part, my costume is awesome. Like, yeah. It's breathable. It's leather. It's nice. It's a really beautifully made costume. So I really enjoy wearing it. It's good for outdoors, it's good for indoors, and then also I don't have to do different fittings, you know, like,
there you go.
Rose and Utkarsh have to go to fittings constantly, and it's, yeah, like, yeah, that sucks, you know. I don't have to do that.
it's like I don't know what it's like, but that's, yeah, that's pretty funny. There was something I was gonna ask you. I'm sorry, I've been kind of dropped the ball, but you know, you're also pretty athletic from what I read. You know, do martial arts, you box, and you just took up rock climbing. What exactly about rock climbing appealed to you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I love rock climbing. I'm a very physical person. I study Wing Chun right now. It's a form of Kung Fu. And I studied, you know, karate and Kung Fu in high school. And I do boxing occasionally. But yeah, I love rock climbing. Rock climbing is cool because it's a very much a mental game as much as it is a physical game. So that's what I really like about it. It challenges you mentally, because sometimes you are your own worst enemy, and you're like, if you get afraid or if you don't think you can do it, you're not going to do it. But if you just believe and just trust that sometimes you can, and there's something so beautiful about that. So yeah, I really do love rock climbing.
How extreme do you go with the rock climbing?
I'm not that extreme. I'm definitely
You're not Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 2.
No, definitely not. No. I'm pretty tame when it comes to rock climbing. I do it for fun. I don't do it for like you know, let's go to this crazy, I don't know, this, let's go to this crazy place and climb 1,000-foot wall. Yeah. Like, no, that's not me.
The comedy sitcom idea would be you talking about going rock climbing and then cut away to you being at like a kid's place rock climbing one of those little walls.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. A wall that's like 5 foot and I just, yeah.
Just kicking every kid's ass.
Exactly. That's it.
What kind of things, I mean, what do you work on when you're not, when the show's not going on or when you're in between seasons? What kind of things keep you motivated to keep creative, and what are you looking to do?
Yeah, I am, you know, I'm a producer on a short film called This Is Their Land right now. It's about the Modoc War of 1872 to 1873, about the Modoc people and how they fought for a reservation on their ancestral homelands. And they fought the U.S. Army for about 9 months. And it's this beautiful, true story, and also very tragic. And so we have a short film that we're potentially going to pitch as a miniseries. Besides that, I'm doing a voiceover on a show called Spirit Rangers. It's a animated kids show on Netflix about a Chumash family, and the kids have superpowers to become nice. Like animals. It's so cute. I'm a voice on that. I play Moy. He's the wolf, the emo wolf. And besides that, you know, I'm constantly creating, whether that's writing. I love photography. That's something I really love to do. I'm constantly doing different creative projects. I play guitar, I sing. So it's been a big part of my life recently, just singing a lot and trying to develop my voice and develop my, just kind of getting back to who I am again, of like, I love to dance, I love to sing, I love to perform. So I'm excited to do more of that.
Awesome. I think I just have two more questions for you. One is, you know, you mentioned being, you know, having different, you know, makeups in your background.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever posed any kind of problem individually for any of those communities? Like, did anybody say, well, you know, you're not this, you're not that, or are you young enough to be raised in an age where maybe that those walls are kind of, to some degree, with people your age, smashed a little bit?
You know, that was definitely been the most challenging part of my life, is my identity. And, you know, it's hard when you're growing up being multiracial, because you constantly don't feel like you're enough. You don't feel like, you know, I was Asian enough, or I'm Native enough, or Mexican enough. I never thought I was enough, because when I was in, sometimes, you know, especially growing up, when you're part of that community, they're like, well, you're not full Mexican, you're not full Asian, you don't know. And it's like, okay, well, then what am I, right? It's like constantly having people tell you what you're not. Yeah. So then who was going to tell me who I am? And so that's been a long journey for me to accept and to embrace. But I was working at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. I'm very grateful for this place, because they let me play characters of different cultures. I was doing rep a few years, but one of the years, my second season, I was in a show called Snow and Midsummer, where it was an all Asian cast. So I was doing that show where I was playing like a Chinese farm worker, or a Chinese factory worker. And then at night I was in Oklahoma, where I was playing a character that was Cherokee. And like, that was so cool to be able to kind of bounce around and you know, like in the morning I'm playing this side of my heritage and my family. And then at night I'm playing this side. But yeah, you know, there's always going to be people who are going to tell you you're not enough. But at the end of the day, I'm very proud of who I am. I'm very proud of where I come from and my family, my ancestry, and it's definitely been a journey, but I'm very proud of who I am.
What are you most looking forward to in your future, either creatively or personally?
I'm really looking forward to creating more and collaborating with people that I love. That's been something I'm really excited about is, people are now looking at me and being like, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's do something." And I'm like, "Awesome." Like, that's such an exciting place to be where people are excited to collaborate with you and want to give you the space to create your stuff and tell your stories. So I really want to tell my stories. I really want to write projects that I would want to be in, and I want to write projects that I would want to see growing up and see that representation that I never saw and be that representation that I never saw. So I'm just very excited to continue to do more and get back into theater as well and continue with Ghosts and just ride this awesome wave that I'm on. I'm just so grateful.
All right. Well, Ramon, sorry, I'm sorry, it's late in the day.
Oh, you're good.
You have, it was a pleasure talking with you. I wish you the best of luck. Good luck with Ghost continuing and with everything that you're wanting to work on. I really appreciate you taking the time today, and hope you have a great rest of your day.
Awesome. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you. You have a great day. All right.
See
Bye.
you. Bye.